The Other Side of This Wide Night, Part 3. Chapter 5. Imagine the dark hills I would have to cross to reach you. You had dinner and spent the evening on his couch, listening to him talk to his boss. Yes. Tell me again why I should like this guy, because that's a shitty thing to do to your date. I don't know. People make mistakes, Jess, and they deserve second chances. Besides, there are worse ways to spend an evening than sitting reading a book with a beautiful man after an amazing meal. Joe closes his eyes and thinks of the way Nikki had kissed him on the front step, and the look on Nikki's face when Joe brought his plate to the couch, as though being cared for was unexpected and precious. Mostly, though, because he makes me smile like this. She pauses, knife poised over the cutting board watching him. A look of something fierce and soft creases her face. Okay. Thank you. Let's go back to the part where you didn't actually get to talk to him much. We're still counting that as a date somehow? Jess. What? So you're perfectly content to sit there and just be next to him, barely cuddling for hours. But then when he asks you to spend the night, doing the same exact thing, you decide to go home instead. Joe groans and buries his face in his hands. Am I wrong? Did you get the offer to see what he looks like being all soft with bedhead twice and not take a lift home? It was the right decision at the time. His palms are muffling his words. Because if you'd stayed, neither of you would have been able to let the other one leave. Exactly. You'd both have gotten fired and nearly died of dehydration by now. He stares at her. Some people's sisters are kind to them. No, they aren't. Hey, she nudges his shin with her foot. It was the only grown-up choice. You did the right thing. And yet you're still tormenting me over it. Jess hands him a cucumber. Yes, I am. Peel that. Because I'm your sister. Also, you looked like you needed to wallow a bit. Just remember, I have a whole second sister I can go to for sympathy if you're going to be like this. Feel free, the baby's teething this week. He kisses the top of her head and she presses up into it. Then what? Then he flew to England. He sent me a message when he landed, and we talked when he got to his hotel. He tosses the last of the peels into the compost bin and starts slicing the pile of vegetables. Make those thinner. Talked about what? His boss, my boss, movies and books, dumb childhood stories. Jess is crumbling a brick of feta over a bowl. You going to tell him the one with the oil paints, or should Tanny and I do it? He doesn't stop slicing. I will gut you like a fucking fish. Mm-hmm. Joe reaches over her, scraping everything on the cutting board into a bowl. So, he can tell, just by her tone, that he's not going to like this. Still no story? Joe sighs. No, not yet. I told you. Jess's phone starts to vibrate on the counter. She presses the answer button with the cleanest edge of one pinky finger. Hey, Joe thinks you'll be nicer to him. He should have picked a week. The baby isn't teething. That's what I said. There's a wail on the other end of the line and the sound of soft, soothing noises. Did he get the story? Joe glares at Jess. You told her? She looks dumbfounded. Of course I did. We're your sisters. Does Mom know? Jess holds her hands out. If she does, I'm not the one who told her. She turns her head toward the phone. Tanny, did you say anything to Mom? Because I want this to be the only thing she asks me about for weeks. Besides, I've got money on it being something kinky, and I don't want to have to tell her that when she asks. Joe's mouth is suddenly very dry. No answer yet, by the way. Sushi Man is on a business trip. Burying his face in his palms, Joe listens to them discuss him as though he weren't there. Over the phone, Joe hears the sound of fabric against fabric, as though someone was moving a perfectly chubby baby from one hip to another. We're not getting an answer until he's back then. Joe looks at the phone like he thinks his big sister can see his confused, incredulous face. We're going to end up talking every night. Why would this have to wait until he's back? 2 dates and 2 phone calls? She asks. Right? No, it's too early. You're not hooked enough. If he gives you the end of the big story before you're really attached, you might still behead him so you can take a new wife. Embarrassingly, it takes him a second to catch up. You're both horrible. Besides, I'm not sure how much more hooked I can be. Oh, Yusuf, I love you. I love you too, Tan. The girls say their goodbyes, and Jess taps the end button. Come on, bring the burgers out on the balcony, and you can tell me about tonight's phone call. He's got a plate in one hand and a fistful of silverware in the other when something pings in his memory. You two have bets going about what the story is? Joe can hear Jess laughing from the balcony. Nikki and Joe talk at least once a day, with a few texts in between. So far, they've been the highlight of Nikki's trip. Joe called on his way home from work the first night, and tonight Nikki is keeping him company while he does laundry. It's pleasingly, if oddly, domestic for two people who aren't even on the same continent. Tonight's date is over FaceTime. Nikki is sprawled across the small couch in his hotel room, a beer in one hand and a massive chunk of fried whitefish in the other. There is vinegar practically dripping off of it, and Joe would crawl through the phone to get to the other piece still sitting on the box to Nikki's left. Why are you just now eating? It's nearly midnight. We had a late meeting, so Andy had food brought in for dinner. And you didn't want it? Joe's wadding up a pair of socks into a ball. She said it was Italian. Nikki can see his face on the screen, and he hopes Joe can read the despair there. Oh, Nikki, what was it really? Sadness. Nikki fully expects the foil container of limp, overcooked penne and watery tomato sauce to feature in his nightmares for the next 6 months. He distracts himself with the sight of Joe's wrists and forearms as Joe slips a shirt onto a hanger. There wasn't anything you could eat? There hadn't been. It had been a buffet of tragedies with an abomination that had the balls to be labeled Caesar salad at one end. At the other end, a tray of tiny cannoli that managed to be gritty and have pineapple in them. What kind of godless heathen fuck puts pineapple in cannoli? He'd fantasized briefly about setting it all on fire, but Nikki had been starving by then. After a silent apology to his Nona, Nikki had tried to make do. I peeled the mozzarella off the top of the garlic bread and ate it like a cheese stick in a child's lunchbox. And there were a few pieces of lettuce that didn't have any dressing on them. You earned that fish. Nikki grins around the frankly ill-advised amount he just shoved in his mouth. At some point, the topic of past relationships comes up. Joe has nothing but nice things to say about his past partners. It was circumstances every time, never anything with screaming. Probably I got all your screaming breakups and fights. Chess thinks it's because I never felt strongly enough about them to be upset they were gone, as if I were saving my heart for some kind of ideal person. He snorts, and an ocean away, Nikki quietly dreams of being that person. Oh, the hummus came out of my white shirt. Joe holds it up for the camera, and Nikki feels his mouth go dry around a mouthful of fish. It's like a sensory waterfall in his memories, the smell of that tiny bathroom, and the feel of Joe's waist under Nikki's hand, cool from the soaking wet shirt. He can taste Joe's mouth under his and hear the desperate moans from both their throats. If he closes his eyes, Nikki can perfectly picture the shadow of dark hair he could see through the fabric, where it was especially wet. He also remembers the way Joe looked when he was giving Nikki a chance to back out and leave. Both images are so powerfully erotic in such different ways, Nikki's glad he's sitting down. It took a couple of washes. I was afraid I was going to have to throw it out. Some primal, hidden caveman part of Nikki growls, "Don't ever throw that shirt out." Joe looks startled. and Nicky kicks himself. Fabulous, Nicky. Excellent restraint. Are you going to lick him too so that everyone knows he's yours? Maybe put a post-it on it, like he's your lunch in the office fridge. They're growing closer, getting to know each other, but starting their relationship with intense, intimate contact has thrown off the rest of Nicky's calibrations for how to behave at this stage. I just mean, no, don't say anything. That was deeply hot. He grins, and Nicky can see his eyes glitter. He'd joked, if only to himself, about asking Joe to bring that shirt over when he came to visit. The idea of taking that shirt off Joe, of unwrapping him, is too good to resist. Someday you should wear that when you come over. I'm happy you want me to come over again. How would Joe not know how badly Nicky wants precisely that? Though he's been so busy accidentally blurting out the wrong thing, he might have missed a step. Nicky is flipping through his memories, trying to pinpoint times when he didn't rely on subtext. I felt like there was so much I didn't have to say. I hoped you would know because you were also not saying it. I probably was, but some things we probably should say. I mean, this isn't like any dating or... Joe waves his hand in a vague gesture. Whatever that I've ever done. Joe? He looks up from where he's stacking pajama pants on top of each other. Hmm? You're right. It's good, especially when things start unusually as ours did. It's good to make things clear. Nicky wonders if there's a prize for emotional vulnerability, because he's about to put himself in the running. If he's lucky, the prize will be Joe. I'll start, Nicky says. I like you. That's not what I like you very, very much. It would make me happy to date you, and only you, and spend as much time as you'd like together. It would be a tragedy if I didn't get to see you asleep in my bed. So please come over to my house again. Please look at home on my sofa again. Please touch my books again and eat at my table again. Please kiss me hello at my door again. I know there's more, but it's late, and this is my third beer. Joe is beaming at him. Yeah, that would be good. Which part? All the parts, Joe laughs. As magnificent as your ass is, I want all the things you just said even more. And as glad as I will be to have you home, I'd take 100 more nights like this, if that's what it took to spend time with you. Oh, good. Nicky smiles and feels it spread across his whole face. Grabbing a handful of hangers, Joe says, I'll be right back. Nicky feels like he's just been in a race, but it was worth it. Joe picks up his laptop and shifts to the incredibly comfortable-looking overstuffed chair in his front room. He slumps down and drapes one forearm over his eyes. Long day? Joe nods. You had dinner with your sister last night? Joe's mouth is the only part of his face Nicky can see, but it's smiling. I did. She thinks you're Scheherazade. His chuckle is mostly a puff of air and a smile. Nicky flicks through his mental file cabinet for what he might be using to... Oh. Because we keep not getting to that story? Joe nods again, then pulls his arm off his eyes and sits up. On the other hand, I think it's because you keep promising to debauch me, and then do everything else instead. Nicky raises an eyebrow. I'm on the other side of the ocean, Joe. Yes. One side of his mouth curls up in a smile. You're very clever with your distractions. Nicky laughs and tries not to get the last of his fish all over his keyboard. Do you want me to tell you about eating sushi with a fork, if it's tormenting you and your sister so much? Joe looks at him, something behind his eyes pondering. No. No? You save that one. I have no idea what it is, but I know I can wait until you're home to find out. Nicky shrugs. He has no idea what Joe's head is spinning up, but he's enjoying watching Joe squirm at least a little. If that's what you want. He thinks he keeps from smirking. You know what? You can tell me one thing. Nikki raises questioning eyebrows. Is it one of the ways you're going to get me to the point that I'm begging you? Nikki's worked for Andy for more than 8 years. In that time, he's walked into more unknown, potentially volatile situations than he could have imagined. A person didn't survive, let alone thrive, in an environment like that without developing a hell of a poker face when needed. The possibilities are infinite, Joe. Joe is sitting curled in his chair, elbow on a well-padded arm and his temple in his fist. What about you giving me one of the infinite possibilities, just as a bedtime story? Nikki sits forward, rests his elbows on his knees, and looks directly into the webcam on his laptop. It's a poor hunter who lets his prey know his scent before the chase has even begun. He sits back. Besides, this is my best material. It doesn't come free, Joe. For a couple of seconds, Joe doesn't say anything at all. He just stares at Nikki, something hot and huge behind his eyes. Eventually, he nods and sits back, reclining in the chair again. Okay, we'll wait until you're home, he says. Just as Nikki's about to say that he'd expected more of a fight, Joe openly, blatantly, palms his groin and lets his eyes flutter closed. Joe. To his dying day, Nikki will deny that this was a growl. You're right, Nikki. We should wait until we're in the same room and can actually touch each other. Anything else would just be torturing ourselves. With what can only be described as malice aforethought, Joe slides his right hand under the waistband of the pajama pants he's been wearing since he got home and bites his lip. When Nikki finally gets enough moisture back in his mouth to speak, he narrows his eyes at Joe. I feel like I ought to have known you had this vicious streak in you. You should go. It's midnight and you've got a meeting before 9, Joe says, stroking himself just once. You're sure you want to start this? Now, why would I want to start anything while you're so far away? Another stroke, and this time he hitches his hips a little as well. Such a little shit. Sweet dreams, Nikki. Good night, Joe, Nikki says, conceding defeat, for now. It's a strange courtship. These two men who tasted each other's mouths but never hugged. They've spun fantasies and promised each other nights of passion, but never exchanged last names. Now an ocean apart, they take the time to get to know each other. Joe is glad, if he's honest with himself, that they've been forced to take this step back. He's enjoying learning about Nikki without the temptation of nearness. It's not that they're incapable of restraint. It's just that when he's in the same room with Nikki, it's hard to see the point of it. This way, they've had discussions about politics and debates about poetry. His fingers have itched to touch Nikki for every minute of those conversations. Still, it's become a familiar tug by now, and he knows he's not alone. One night, he's explaining a tricky bit of translation that's come across his desk. It'll make more sense, he says, if Nikki's heard the poem. Go on then, Nikki says, and Joe reads the handful of lines he's completed so far. When he looks up, Nikki smiles. Read it again? On the third day, Nikki wants to send him something and asks for an email address. When the message shows up in his inbox, Joe stares at it for a few seconds. It seems odd to think of Nikki having a last name, of him having a first name that isn't just Nikki. He replies so that they're even. It's Nikki's personal email address, but the picture he's sharing includes his employee ID piled on the desk in front of him, along with his breakfast, and the actual purpose for the picture, Nikki's cappuccino. Andy had dipped her mechanical pencil into her black coffee and used it to draw a dick in the foam of Nikki's drink. There was no reason that picture had to come by email, but if this was the excuse Nikki needed to find out more about him, Joe's happy to ignore the truth. Curious about Andy, Joe pulls up the company website. 2 hours later, not only does Joe still have no idea what Andy looks like, he's no closer to figuring out what the company does. Once he gets the answer to the sushi question, this will be the thing that itches under Joe's skin, begging for an answer. The fourth night, Joe is lamenting the state of his cupboards and trying to decide what kind of food he wants to be delivered. "What do you have?" Nikki asks. "Nothing." "I'm serious, Joe." So he inventories his food supplies for Nikki. When he's finished, Nikki walks him through cooking something truly magnificent with a few of the things Joe already had lying around. At the end of that call, Nikki's mood starts to dip. The trip is getting to him, the long hours, and the time away from home. "I have responsibilities, I know, but," Nikki sighs, "I want to kiss you." It's the simplest statement, but Joe feels it to his bones. Good thing, bad thing, go. "The good thing is that I get to see your face like this at the end of the day. The bad thing is that I only get to see your face like this at the end of the day." "Yeah." They end the call not long after, both grumpy and maudlin and unwilling to take it out on each other. The first 4 days were novel, a new way to learn each other, and they'd tried to make the most of them. Even the end of the fourth day, when their moods and the distance meant they cut their call a little short. But now it's the fifth day, and they both had enough. Luckily, so has Andy. "When is your flight?" "Just before noon, I think." Andy has the details. "I wouldn't care if the plane took off at 3 a.m, just so long as it was heading in that direction." "You'll be happy to see your own bed," Joe says. There's a beat before Nikki says, "That depends, I suppose. Will you be in it?" Joe's belly goes tight, and his heart thumps louder. It's not a surprise at this point that Nikki wants him, misses him, but Joe's not sure he'll ever get used to hearing that kind of honest desire. "No place I'd rather be." "Good. I hope I won't be ruining any of your weekend plans by keeping you there." "For how long?" "Days, at least." "Letting me see your best material?" Joe winks at him. "Of course. As I said, infinite possibilities, Joe." Fuck. Now Joe is thinking about the sushi again. He hadn't lied to Nikki. He really is happy to wait and satisfy his curiosity when Nikki is home. It's just that every hour before then, Joe imagines some new answer, and they're getting increasingly kinky. At this point, if eating sushi with a fork turns out to be something he needs a safe word for, Joe won't even be surprised. He'll have to make up something to tell Jess, though, because there are some moments where, as much as she's his best friend, she's his baby sister just a little more. "You know, Nikki, there are people who would say holding a man captive in your bed before you've even had a third date is moving a little fast." "Tell them that is our third date." They both laugh, but something flits across Nikki's face. "Joe, these theoretical people, do you want to have their relationships, or do you want to have ours?" It's the first time either of them has called it a relationship out loud. As much as Joe wants to be above those arbitrary milestones, it does make something in his chest go tight just for a second. "That's not even a question." "The nice thing about it being our relationship, it goes at exactly the perfect speed for us." Joe wants to kiss Nikki like he wants his next breath. "Yeah, it does." Soon, so soon, Joe's going to kiss Nikki until they're both weak from it. "Do you need a ride from the airport?" "No. Andy's wife will meet us and drop me at home." Nikki looks so tired, and it's everything Joe can do not to reach out for the screen and try to push his hair off his face. "Will they feed you on the plane?" "They'll try. I think I might sleep through it and pick up something in the airport instead. Or drive through somewhere on the way home, if I can convince Andy." "Or..." He draws the R out for at least 2 seconds. Or I could meet you at your house with food no one handed me from across the counter, or through a window of any kind. Nicky opens his mouth, and Joe is waiting for him to say Joe shouldn't bother, that it's too much, that he couldn't possibly. Except that at some point during the discussion about their exes, Joe had talked about feeling useless when someone he cared about needed help. Right now, Joe can see that flicker across Nicky's face. I would like that very much, thank you. You're getting whatever I make. Nicky's smile is so soft, and Joe wants nothing more than to kiss it right off his face. As long as it will be you who delivers it, I could ask for nothing more. Text me when you land? I can do that, Nicky nods. And this way I can rest on the plane and be ready to show you every terrible thing I've dreamed of doing to you all week. I just want a real live kiss from you. Everything else is a bonus. There's that soft smile again. I'm going to bed. Otherwise I will pass out on this keyboard any minute. Good night. Good night, Nicky, Joe says. And by some miracle, that's all he says. Any other words stay trapped behind his teeth. He calls Jess right after they hang up. She's the family expert in the recipe he wants to make. Most of the things on the ingredient list Joe already has, but he'll need to grab a few more things at lunch tomorrow. Is this for him? I thought he was still on his business trip. He is, but he'll be home tomorrow in time for dinner, so I'm taking this over to him. I hope your boyfriend knows how lucky he is. Joe rubs his forehead. He knows what she sounds like when she's fishing for information. In this instance, she's lucky he can also tell what she sounds like when she feels protective. He's not my boyfriend. You're making him this recipe, and you're taking it over to his house, all so he doesn't have to eat airplane food. Business class airplane food. That's a boyfriend thing, Yusuf. If he's not your boyfriend, what is he? He's hunting for a word that's a better fit. Joe's coming up empty-handed. He's more. More what? Just more. Thanks for the recipe. I'll call you tomorrow at some point, and you can lecture me about how I'm making it wrong. Whatever you need, she says. And he loves her fiercely. Chapter 6. And this is what it is like, or what it is like in words. It keeps poking at Joe, plucking strings in his brain. He's cooking the next afternoon, his senses full of the smell of lemons and cinnamon and the sound of music from his phone, but none of it is louder than the words he said to Jess. More what? Just more. How the hell did this happen? 2 weeks ago, he was walking down the street with a funny story about a contact in his phone and nothing particularly extraordinary happening in his life. A week and a half ago, he made a mistake that countless people make every day, but somehow his accidental call managed to reach someone with wit and charm and personality. Someone he was willing to take a shot at meeting. They somehow bypassed everything between awkward first date and intense makeout on that first night, and everything between how about a second date and how many ways can we find to be domestic together on the next night. It doesn't feel forced, though. It feels right. It feels like they're having their relationship. When they talk to each other, it's like they're playing. Nicky gives as good as he gets, and just when Joe is ready with a witty comeback, Nicky surprises him with a heartfelt declaration. If kissing and talking are this good with Nicky, Joe's not sure any sex could live up to those expectations, which doesn't stop him from imagining all the possibilities. He spent too much of the last 5 days picturing Nicky's skin under his hands, hearing Nicky's voice in his ear, seeing those eyes, the color of sea glass, wide and staring right at him, in the moments he'd never admit to. Joe's thought about how it will feel to have Nicky hot and hard in his mouth. Joe wouldn't say he spent an awe-inspiring amount of time over the last 5 days dreaming about what it will be like to feel Nicky's skin next to his at last. He would say he's been cultivating a rich inner life. If most of that cultivation happens when he's in the shower, it's really just efficient use of his time, isn't it? His phone buzzes, interrupting the music, and when Joe looks over, he sees Nicky's name. On the ground. Home in an hour, I think. Perfect timing. Dinner's almost done. Let me know when you're leaving the airport. The food goes into a few separate containers. Joe tucks some more of the mint tea into the bag as well. He's ticking things off on his mental list, zipping right through until he hits the part where he can almost see written on a page, change of clothes, and his brain shudders to a halt. This is the plan. It's been the plan all along. It was the plan last time. They'd just been torpedoed by circumstances beyond their control. So why would this be something even to question? It's not presumptuous. That's what he's telling himself. He knows it's ridiculous. When they'd been joking about how long they'd stay in bed, it had been Nicky who'd said, days at least. Still, even the incredibly slim chance of Nicky looking at his toothbrush sticking out of the side pocket of his backpack and saying, "Oh, were you planning on staying?" puts a sliver of doubt in Joe's head. Closing his eyes, Joe takes a deep breath and remembers Nicky's voice saying, "Do you want to have their relationships, or do you want to have ours?" All at once, his chest loosens, like Nicky's given him permission to breathe. A change of clothes goes into the backpack, also a toothbrush, his ludicrously indulgent beard oil, and a book. Always a book. Does he go digging through his drawer for the pajama pants he knows hang right on his hips, and the t-shirt so old and loved it's almost see-through? What a ridiculous question. Why, did someone say something? He's most of the way out of the door when he stops and, in a fit of confidence, grabs a second pair of underwear and stuffs it down alongside the first. It's been colder the last couple of nights, so at the last second, Joe pulls his leather jacket from the coat rack by the door. Nicky loves her, he does, but by the time they turn down his street, he's well and truly sick of Andy. It's mutual, and neither of them is taking offense. It's how they both get at the end of a trip like this. Right now, he's that horrible cocktail of absolutely wired and completely exhausted, and he just wants to get into his house. "Well, now that's impressive," Andy says. "Company, Nicky?" "What?" She nods her head in the direction of his house, and Nicky sees what she's looking at. He also understands her reaction. Standing at the top of his front steps, leaning back against the iron railing, with his nose in a book, wearing jeans and boots and a black leather jacket, is Joe. It's like Nicky ordered his fantasy man and had him delivered. Nicky would never admit it, but he's wondered, the tiniest bit, if his memory was exaggerating how his body reacts to just seeing Joe. The sudden twinge of pain where his zipper is digging into his rapidly thickening cock tells Nicky that he hasn't misremembered anything. Nicky wants to bury his fingers in Joe's hair, kiss him for hours, and then drag him to bed for a week. "Is this the date?" "Andy, no." "What, so I don't get to meet him? I can be nice." Quite probably, Andy doesn't realize that her innocent voice is somehow even more terrifying than her just-being-friendly voice, and that together they sound like she's trying to lure unsuspecting victims into a windowless van. Probably. He looks at her, raising one eyebrow. "Someday, perhaps. After I've had a chance to warn him and barricade the door so he can't escape. He grabs his bag from the seat next to him and reaches forward to squeeze Andy's shoulder. "So is this just dinner, or is this a sleepover?" she asks. Nikki is unwilling and unable to stop the smile that spreads across his face. Andy nods. "Don't come in tomorrow." "Thanks, boss." "Or the day after." At the sound of Nikki getting out of the car, Joe turns, and his face breaks out into a grin. Nikki can hear Andy through her open window whisper, "Holy shit!" He couldn't agree more. He's been on one too many planes today, actually to jog up the steps. But Nikki gets to Joe as fast as he can. He's been thinking about this moment for days, and for a second, he doesn't know what comes next. From the street, Nikki can hear Andy yell, "Hi, Joe!" And from somewhere next to her in the car comes a deep wolf whistle. Nikki doesn't even turn from looking at Joe to yell, "Fuck off, Andy!" She's still laughing as she rolls up the window, and the car pulls away. "Hello," Nikki says. "Hello. Have you been waiting long?" "Nikki," Joe cuts him off, "I have been waiting for a week. Kiss me." Nikki does. At first, because he simply leans in to start the kiss, only their mouths are touching. It's perfect already, but then Nikki can feel Joe's arms around him, can feel strong fingers digging into his back, pulling him closer. Nikki slides his hand beneath Joe's jacket and clutches his waist. Gone from his mind are the frustrations of travel, the difficulty of the day. Now there's only the warm weight of Joe's jacket on his arms and the even warmer body under his hands. The extra benefit to Joe's request is that it stops Nikki from making small talk. Small talk gets Nikki into trouble. The specter of "that would make me Nikki" still haunts him. This, though, is something they've never gotten wrong. This relationship, is between the two of them, not whoever the two of them think they should pretend to be on a first date. All Nikki can smell is Joe, his skin, his hair, the soap he uses on his shirt, and the heady, rich smell of his jacket. It's making his head fuzzy, and he doesn't want it ever to stop. It's only been a week, but this kiss feels like it was years in the making. It's a kiss that says hello, and how are you, so much sexier than I remember, but also, there's nowhere else I'd rather be right now, and we're going to ruin each other in the best ways. Mostly, though, it's a kiss that says, I missed you. I missed you so much. I didn't realize how much I'd missed you until I had you in my arms again. When it ends, Nikki keeps his forehead resting against Joe's, both of them breathing into the space between them. Fuck, Joe whispers. Nikki's not even sure Joe's talking to him. He seems just to be expressing disbelief that the moment is finally here. Food first, Nikki says, and watches a smile light up Joe's eyes. Nikki must remember to thank him later for suggesting they skip the small talk. Going straight to kissing seems to have bypassed his verbal disaster switch. "Eat at the table or on the sofa?" Joe calls as he unloads the containers holding their dinner. "Sofa," Nikki yells from the bathroom. "I've been in too many chairs and seats today. I'll be right there. Give me 5 minutes." It's not a long shower, but it's enough to wash away the smell of airplanes and sweat and travel. Dressed in his NYU t-shirt and a pair of sweatpants, Nikki drops onto the sofa next to Joe. "Thank you again for cooking, for coming over, for being here, really." "It's my very great pleasure," Joe says, leaning close for a kiss. "Don't start. Food first." "I'm not starting anything." Joe is the picture of innocence. "Do you even hear these lies you're saying?" "No," Joe says, laughing like the rotten liar he is. Nikki shakes his head and wonders at how much he adores this man. "This smells amazing," Nikki says, I would recommend you eat well. You'll need your energy. I like the sound of that. Nikki stretches his legs out, putting his feet in Joe's lap. When we're finished with dinner, I'm taking you into my bed, and I'm going to show you exactly how much I missed you, and your kisses, and the way you feel under my hands. Good, as long as I get a turn. There's a spot on your neck that I haven't kissed for too many days. Having finished his food first, Nikki puts his plate on the coffee table and rests his head against the back of the sofa. All week long, he's been dreaming of having Joe this near, being able to touch him and kiss him. And now that the day is here, Nikki wants to soak up every bit of it, even here on the couch, fully clothed, because being able to reach down and put his hand on Joe's foot, to see their legs draped over each other, even these parts are perfect. If Nikki had seen this moment in a movie, he'd have turned to the person in the next seat and rolled his eyes. Such rank sentimentality, he'd say, with all the authority of someone who doesn't know what he's missing. It's rare, but sometimes Nikki's the dumbest smart person he knows. Reaching down, Nikki slides his hand up the leg of Joe's jeans. Partly he's reveling in the contrast of Joe's warm skin under crisp hairs. Mostly, though, he's just enjoying that Joe is here, really here, in his house again, that they're here together. Joe's been keeping up most of the conversation for the last few minutes, so he's not quite finished eating. I'll just close my eyes and enjoy the sound of his voice, is the last conscious thought Nikki has. As much as Joe has been craving Nikki's touch, as much as he's been anointing his shower wall while fantasizing about what their first night together will be like, one thing has been evident since they sat down on the couch. Whether Joe or his cock liked it or not, this particular night won't end with them in a naked, sweaty, satisfied heap. Not with Nikki this tired. There are deep purple circles under his eyes, and Joe wonders when the last time was that Nikki got a good night's sleep. Is it at least a little motivated by the selfish desire to have the full force of Nikki's attention on him when the time comes? Of course. But Joe figures that doing something altruistic while also looking out for your own interests is what gets us art museums, so he's not beating himself up about it too much. Joe sits and watches Nikki sleep for a few minutes. He's just taking in the flop of hair over his forehead, the lines of his nose, and every other little thing Joe's been trying to remember for the last week. Nikki needs to be moved from the couch to his bed before his sleep gets any deeper. Joe clears the dishes, leaving them in the sink until morning, and puts the leftovers away before coming back into the living room and putting one hand on Nikki's shoulder. Nikki doesn't move. He's very softly snoring, and Joe finds it adorable. This is what his life has come to, finding someone snoring adorable. He's so fucked. Joe thinks about the name he's only ever seen in Nikki's work emails and decides now is as good a time as any to try it out. He squeezes Nikki's shoulder again and bends to whisper in his ear, Niccolo, we need to move to the bed. Nikki shifts, rolls, and mumbles something that Joe decides to take as an agreement on their course of action. He shakes Nikki's shoulder a little. I'd love to just sweep you up and carry you there, but I'd rather not start this weekend with one of us getting hurt in a really boring way. Also, I have no idea where your bedroom is. Nikki grins a slow, sleepy smile and reaches out both hands. Taking me to bed? That's right. Taking Nikki's hands, Joe hauls him up off the couch. Good. I've been waiting for this all week. I'll make it good, Joe. I know you will. It'll be the best. But first you gotta get us into the bedroom. He gently pushes Nikki in the direction of the stairs. Nikki's not moving fast, so Joe has time to make sure doors are locked and turn most of the lights out. He catches up with Nikki at the top of the stairs. Hey, there you are, Nikki says. I'm happy you're here. Tomorrow he will let Nikki do things to him that will make his pulse race even weeks later just by remembering them. Tonight, his heart is already screwed. I'm happy I'm here too. Which door? Nikki's bedroom is exactly what would have come to mind if you'd asked Joe to describe it sight unseen. Nothing matches, but everything works. One wall is nothing but floor-to-ceiling bookshelves. Another is covered in pictures. Joe recognizes a few as the work of Nikki's sister. The wall behind the bed is a warm, dark blue. It's the same blue as the big chair by the window. Judging by the haphazard pile of books next to it, Joe is willing to bet that chair is the most comfortable piece of furniture in the house. Off to one side is the door into a bathroom. Joe stops in his tracks. Hey, Nikki? Sitting on his bed, tugging off his socks, Nikki looks up at him, questioning. When I get bored with you, I'm leaving you for your bathtub. We're going to run away together. Be my guest. Remind me to show you how to work the jets first. It has jets? Nikki nods. Oh, Nikki, you sweet talker. Nikki smirks at him. He's barefoot, but with his hand on the waist of his sweatpants. He's got the look of a man who isn't sure how much he should take off or how fast. It's a problem Joe is uniquely qualified to help solve. I'll get that. Joe knows that Nikki's going to be asleep 3 seconds after his head hits the pillow, but right now he's awake, and it's hitting both of them that this exact moment is where they've been trying to get to for weeks. Joe slips his hand under Nikki's shirt, fingers sweeping along his waist. Nikki sucks in a breath, but otherwise doesn't move a muscle. As Nikki leans in, their mouths are a hair's breadth apart. Joe slips just the tips of his fingers under the waistband of Nikki's pants, just at the small of his back. Nikki's hand is in his hair faster than Joe can blink, and this kiss is even better than the one on the front steps. They finally break the kiss so Joe can finish pushing Nikki's shirt up and off his arms. Joe can't stop touching him. Granted, he's not trying very hard to stop. There's just so much skin, and all of it is warm, and all of it smells like Nikki. He wants to drop to his knees, wants to suck bruises into Nikki's neck, wants to strip down and put himself at Nikki's mercy for hours. He wants it so bad he's aching with it. With his dick doing most of his thinking right now, it's hard to remember that he wants Nikki in fighting form when their time comes. Altruism, he thinks to himself. Fucking art museums. Joe pulls the covers back. I need to do something. You're going to be waiting for me in that bed when I get back. Nikki nods. Joe kisses him once more and steps into the bathroom. He doesn't actually do anything while he's in there other than some light snooping. He's just doing what any good player does when the end of the game is already won or lost. He's running out the clock. Pulling his phone from his pocket, Joe sends Jess a quick note. Dinner was a success. Thank you for your help. You're welcome. Enjoy the weekend. Stay hydrated. When his phone says 3 minutes have passed, Joe looks out and sees Nikki sprawled on his back, snoring once more. Shit, how is that still so adorable? Joe changes into his pajamas, cuts off the lights, and crawls into bed on the side Nikki isn't currently spread across like he's trying to save seats for friends who are running late. He has no idea what position Nikki usually sleeps in. Doesn't even know if Nikki likes to snuggle? Cuddle? Again, how has his life come to this? Trying to decide whether cuddle or snuggle best fits how he wants to hold this incredible man while they sleep. Joe decides that if Nikki wanted a vote in what position they slept in, he should have stayed awake. What Joe wants is to curl himself around Nikki and get his nose somewhere that he'll be able to smell Nikki all night. He's a simple man with simple needs. Hooking an arm around Nikki's middle, Joe pulls him closer. There's a spot just at the base of Nikki's neck where Joe can smell both his skin and his hair. If you asked him directly, Joe would deny it, at least this early on. But this is the kind of perfect he didn't even think to wish for. He has one arm under his head and the other across Nikki's chest as he falls asleep. What wakes Nikki in the morning is the motion of Joe getting back into the bed and sliding close again. But he's not aware enough to know that. He just knows that when his eyes open, he's in his own bed, in his own house, and that finally, fucking finally, Joe is here with him. He's tucked into the curves of Nikki's body behind his knees, over his back, one arm slung around Nikki, unabashedly snuggling him close. Feeling Joe's warm breasts against the back of his neck, Nikki just stays still, drowning in all of this for as long as possible. Soon he'll have to get up and wait. "Did you bring me coffee?" Joe hums a yes into Nikki's neck. "You use my coffee machine?" He can feel the stroke of Joe's nose as he nods. "I just... forgive me. I need a moment." Nikki's brow furrows. "You got up early, figured out how to use my horrible, temperamental coffee machine, and brought me coffee in bed?" Joe's voice is so sleep soft, Nikki almost feels terrible for grilling him like this, but it's important. "Breakfast, too, kinda." "Right, okay." That's as much as Nikki can take lying down. He rolls until he can prop himself up on both elbows and look down at Joe, tucked up behind him. Behind Joe, Nikki can see the nightstand on the other side of the bed. On it are two mugs, both steaming, and a plate stacked with two sliced and toasted bagels. They must have been in the freezer. Nikki doesn't want to think about how old they are. There's a handful of fruit as well. Nikki recognizes it as leftover from dessert the night before. While Nikki was drooling into his pillow, Joe was thinking about him and how to make his morning better, his life better. Nikki thinks about how Joe brought dinner last night, got him into bed, cared for him. Simple gestures, all of them, but to Nikki, they're immeasurable. His eyes shift from the plate back to Joe's face, and he just stares, waiting for words, any words at all, to come. A line appears between Joe's eyebrows. "Nikki?" "Thank you," Nikki says, but feels inadequate somehow. It feels small. "Just, I'll be right back." When Nikki finishes brushing his teeth and comes back to bed, Joe's dozed off again. He blinks back awake when Nikki settles over him and starts kissing his neck. "Thank you for taking care of me. Thank you for coffee and breakfast and putting me to bed last night. Thank you for being next to me when I woke up. I've been waiting for weeks to wake up next to you. It was worth every second." Joe's mouth opens under Nikki's kiss, and he moans, arching up into Nikki's chest. Nikki stretches across Joe, very deliberately grinding parts of their bodies against each other, and picks up his mug. It's not perfect coffee. For one thing, his machine is something of a bitch and needs to be sweet-talked a bit. For another, they haven't really talked about how Nikki likes his coffee doctored. Joe's only heard him talk about the coffee he gets if he's stopped somewhere to have someone else make it. Still, it's here, it's hot, and Joe made it for him and brought it to him in bed. So it's the best coffee Nikki's ever had. "Just for the record, we are getting back to that kissing bit soon, aren't we?" Nikki laughs. "I'm keeping you here for days." Joe pushes himself up until he's sitting with his back against the headboard. The other mug is full of that mint tea Joe loves, and Nikki can see the steam rising to wrap around Joe's head as he drinks. "What time is it?" Nikki doesn't have a clock in here, and his phone is face down on his dresser, clear across the room. Joe grabs Nikki's phone and hands it to him. "Almost 10, he says, around a mouthful of bagel. Nikki flicks his phone to silent mode and very deliberately drops it on the rug where he can't reach it. When they've both eaten a little, and Nikki can feel the caffeine start pinging around in his brain, Joe says, "So..." There's a glint of something in his eyes, and Nikki can't wait to see where this is heading. "We've slept in," Joe says. "I brought you coffee, and we had brunch in bed. I think if we want the full domestic bingo card, all we're missing is doing the crossword and having boring missionary sex." Nikki's taking a drink as Joe says that, but somehow manages to swallow without choking. "Boring missionary sex?" Taking Joe's mug, Nikki puts the drinks on the steamer trunk he uses as a bedside table. I'll be honest with you, Joe, I'm troubled and a little offended that you think any sex had in my bed might be boring, regardless of position. Thankfully, Joe seems to realize Nikki's teasing him. I don't have enough data to form a conclusion, Joe says, and Nikki wants to kiss him until they're 80. Nikki wants to make a snappy comeback. He does. He hunts around in his brain for one and finds nothing except a screaming, fevered need to be touching this man right fucking now. Joe is sitting with his back against the headboard, a little smirk on his face, and Nikki hears something in his brain, some hint of restraint, go tink as it snaps. He takes one of Joe's ankles in each hand and pulls until Joe is flat on his back, laughing. The movement has exposed a strip of skin between the bottom of Joe's shirt and the top of his pants, and Nikki knows it's that same bit of skin that tormented him the last time Joe was in his house. Nikki holds down Joe's pajama pants just over his hips, effectively pinning him to the bed. Joe's body twists under his, even as Nikki bends and presses his mouth to that strip of skin, sucking it. With a gasp, Joe bucks under him, and Nikki grins. He drags his head up Joe's chest, pushing the shirt up with his forehead and bearing even more of that perfect skin. Nikki can't resist rubbing his face against Joe's chest hair, feeling how soft it is. Someday he's going to beg for Joe to pin him like he's pinning Joe right now. He'll rub his cock against Joe's chest until it's so sensitive he comes just from Joe breathing on him. Not today, though. Today he has other plans. Replacing his hands with his knees, Nikki straddles Joe's hips, not high enough to put any pressure on the thickening bulge he can see under Joe's pants, a fact which is clearly frustrating Joe. He's writhing under Nikki, trying to rub himself against the fabric enough to get some decent friction. Nikki presses his knees tighter, stilling the movement of Joe's hips, and Joe whimpers. Nikki pushes Joe's shirt up under his arms and grabs it in both fists. Your lower lip. Joe's tongue darts out to lick the specific spot Nikki's been staring at, and he forgets what he was going to say. Bending, Nikki hauls Joe up by his shirt, meeting him a few inches off the bed so he can take that spot between his teeth and bite just hard enough for Joe to hiss. If he plays his cards right, later this weekend Nikki might get to see Joe's lower lip when it's slick and a little swollen from dragging against Nikki's cock, while Nikki fucks that perfect mouth. He goes perfectly still for a second while his brain reboots. Between the two of them, they get Joe's shirt up and off, tossing it across the room. Suddenly, Nikki wants nothing more than to have as much of his skin touching as much of Joe's skin as possible. When Nikki is stretched out over Joe, feeling every place their chests are touching, the only way to express how good it feels is to kiss Joe breathless. Every time Joe moves and arches under him, Nikki groans into his mouth. Joe's Nikki is a sigh right into Nikki's mouth, and his hands are big and warm on Nikki's back. He's trying to pull Nikki somehow closer, and Nikki wants nothing more than to give him that. When Joe's hands slide down at the back of Nikki's sweatpants, he can't stop himself from grinding himself into the hollow of Joe's hip. Fuck, Joe, why are we still wearing pants? Don't look at me, Joe says, biting at the side of Nikki's neck. I'm trapped in mine right now. For just a second, it's all a little too real. He's wanted this for what feels like years, wanted to feel Joe under him like this, to taste his skin and kiss him whenever the mood strikes. What if they just don't mesh like this? It happens, and it can happen to people who are otherwise incredibly perfectly matched. Worse, what if Nikki's written checks his ass can't cash? He's talked a good game, and he does want to take his time and give Joe the attention he deserves, but what if Joe doesn't enjoy it once Nikki gets started? Hey, Joe says, and his voice is soft and gentle. Talk to me. Talking. That's it. That's what Nikki needed to hear. He and Joe are good at talking. Even when Nikki was opening his mouth and saying any stupid thing his brain put together, Joe still seemed to like talking to him. The last week, they've had a chance to settle into it more and learn how the other communicates. The very fact that Joe is checking in with him now is proof that Nikki's fears are entirely unfounded. Joe had a question, and he asked it. If Nikki is worried he's doing something Joe doesn't want, he can ask. If he wants something specific, he can ask. All he needs to do is make sure that Joe knows the road goes both ways. Though from the way he's looking at Nikki now, it seems he already knows that. I'm good, Nikki says. Look at you. And Nikki can hear the awe in his own voice. His thumb brushes Joe's cheekbone. Nikki kisses him again. We'll likely never get tired of kissing him. Joe moans, and his hands tighten, squeezing Nikki's ass and driving Nikki's hips into Joe's. Nikki's cock throbs, and yes, now he remembers where they were. With a profoundly graceless wriggle, Nikki manages to finish undressing himself. He doesn't realize how much he's wriggling against Joe until he kicks his sweatpants free of his ankles. Joe's pants are dark and damp, where he's been fucking himself against Nikki's thigh. Your turn, Nikki says, and Joe reaches down to push his pajama pants off, and Nikki swats his hand away. I didn't wait a week just to watch someone else unwrap my present. Please, Nikki, I need to feel your skin against me. All your skin, Nikki. Fuck, he knew Joe would be pretty like this, strung out and needy. Still knowing it and seeing it are two very different things, and the reality in front of him is making Nikki's cock drip. He pulls the waistband of Joe's pants out, and far enough down that it won't catch on Joe's cock. The peek he gets of it, flushed and weeping, is enough to make Nikki's mouth water. Nikki pushes the waistband down, while Joe pulls his legs up and out, and soon Joe's pants are on top of Nikki's in a heap beside the bed. On his knees between Joe's legs, Nikki stares. 2 weeks of fantasies, countless dreams. Nothing even came close to reality. You are so fucking beautiful. Remembering his earlier plea, Nikki drapes himself over Joe, making sure their skin touches in as many places as possible. Oh, fuck, Nikki. Joe buries his face against Nikki's neck and moans. As a shiver starts at Joe's shoulders and works its way down his body, he makes a high, keening sound. When his hips jerk against Nikki's, it seems as much a surprise to Joe as it does to Nikki, and the contact punches a startled fuck out of him. Nikki kisses his neck, the hollow of Joe's shoulder, where he's thought about resting his head. He kisses over Joe's heart and down the center of his chest until he's on his belly in the V of Joe's thighs. Beautiful, he whispers, as he looks up the length of Joe's body to see those dark eyes staring back at him. Sliding one of Joe's legs up onto his shoulder, Nikki grins up at him as he licks a long stripe up the length of Joe's cock. Joe's fuck is a wail, and Nikki drinks it in like wine. Nikki continues kissing and licking, but not sucking, anything that he can get his mouth on, as he reaches one hand under Joe to grab as much of that perfect ass as he can. He wants to be touching Joe everywhere. His fingers have been stroking and gripping at Joe's back, his chest, but Nikki's not stopping until he's touched every bit of this man that he can. Kneeling up, Nikki lets Joe's legs slip until his elbow is cradling Joe's knee. This way he can bend to kiss Joe, lick into his mouth, and moan shamelessly at how good everything feels. When he kisses his way back down Joe's chest, Nikki slides Joe's knee back onto his shoulder. He's spread beneath Nikki like a feast, and Nikki wants every bit of it. He's looking into Joe's eyes as he sweeps his hand down to press one finger against Joe's hole. They need time and lube for this to go anywhere else, but he wants to see Joe's face as he falls apart under Nikki's hands for the first time. He's not expecting to feel Joe's hole slick and relaxed under his finger. Did you? Don't worry. I washed my hands between that and making coffee. Now it's Nikki's turn to laugh. This isn't how he thought this part would go, but for them it's perfect. You've been busy. Joe smirks. Were you thinking that if you spent time hiding in my bathroom, robbing me of part of my fun, you'd be able to get me inside you faster? Nikki has no idea where this monologue is coming from, but he wisely decides to step back and let it happen. I missed you, Joe says, as though that explains everything. I missed you too. Nikki kisses a spot of bare, warm skin at the base of Joe's cock. Even after our calls, I'd still miss you. Joe nods. Tell me the truth, Nikki says, two calloused fingers rubbing across where the lube is leaking from Joe's ass. His voice drops to a whisper. Did you do this to yourself sometimes after we talked? Of course. Joe is starting to squirm to try and work his hold down onto Nikki's fingers. Usually I would go to sleep right after we talked, but in the afternoons, when you were still working, I'd stroke myself and think of you. I'd dream of touching you, playing with you, just being able to take all the time I needed to make you ache as I ached. Still rubbing with his fingers, Nikki licks a stripe up the crease of the top of Joe's thigh. I love watching you lose yourself, even if it's just to our kisses, and I couldn't wait to see how beautiful you'd be riding my fingers while I opened you. I still want to see that. It feels like part of Nikki is sitting back, watching this on a screen, marveling at the kind of filth they'll put on TV these days. He's not sure what's happened to him. Sure, he's always been prone to being a talker. It isn't always the cleanest talk, especially in the heat of the moment, but this is something altogether different. For one thing, it's so much more specific and lewd. Watching from 3 feet away, mentally speaking, Nikki sees himself giving Joe explicit plans, details of his preparations, and a description of what will happen to him next. He's wondering why those elements sound familiar to him, and then it clicks. It's the dirtiest Bond villain speech ever given. Miraculously, Nikki doesn't laugh right out loud. The problem is that, just like a Bond villain, Nikki has a specific message he wants to get across. So he decides to just cut to the point. I very much appreciate you being so... He kisses that spot at the base of Joe's cock again. Proactive this morning. I just hope you don't think that's going to make me accelerate my plans at all. Joe groans, frustrated, maybe even a little whiny. Poor Joe. I can just picture you in my bathroom, slicking yourself up, stretching yourself. Knowing you wanted me inside you as soon as possible after I woke up is very, very compelling, I'll admit. Not compelling enough, though, to have me breaking the first promise I ever made you. Nikki turns his head and sucks a kiss right below the head of Joe's cock, grinning as Joe curses and grabs at the sheets. It pulses, thumping against Nikki's mouth, and he can't help but grin. Still, Joe had worked so hard, and the coffee maker really is a bitch, so perhaps Nikki should give him a little reward. He takes the two fingers rubbing back and forth over that soft, slick spot and pushes them in. The push is barely enough to be considered in, but Joe still shouts, and his hips arch off the bed. See, Joe? You wanted me to skip this? You wanted to go right to some kind of main course, like this isn't a meal in itself? Another push in, another cry from Joe. I love feeling you like this. I just wish I'd been the one to do it. Lucky for you, Joe is panting and twisting against the bedding, and they've barely begun. He's going to be the most beautiful wreck when Nikki finally takes him. Lucky for you, there's always next time, right? I like the idea of a next time. Nikki tries to come up with a scenario in which he wouldn't want to have Joe next to him, under him, curled up behind him. Significant head trauma resulting in memory loss, maybe? Even then, he'd probably just learn to be a sucker for Joe all over again. Joe goes completely still, then sits bolt upright. The slide of his leg off Nikki's shoulder pins Nikki's wrist to the bed, well away from Joe's ass. Nikki, I know you told me that you want me in your house and your bed again. Look, we said it's good to make things clear, and I want to be absolutely sure this is one of the things I make clear. I'm not just trying to finish what we started in the bathroom at Rick and Layla's. I know when you first said you'd take your time, you were referring to just the sex, but it's more than that for me. It's been more than that for me for a while. Nikki basks in Joe's smile, feeling his cock pulse as he watches something behind Joe's eyes burn for him. Nikki turns his head to kiss a trail to the inside of Joe's knee. Joe, when we get to the next time, make sure you invite me for the beginning. Dragging the prickle of last night's stubble down the soft, paler skin of Joe's inner thigh, Nikki smiles. For a week I've been thinking about what this spot would smell like. He kisses his patch of dark curls and feels Joe's cock twitch against his cheek. I've also been thinking about what it would taste like, this and a few other spots. He's smirking, and it's the first time since he's still referred to Joe as Pocket Guy that Nikki feels like he's definitely got the upper hand. Lie back. This may take a while. It's true that he's been thinking about this. From the time Joe slid his hands into his pajama pants on that first FaceTime, Nikki's wanted to bury his nose in this spot. The night they'd met in person, in the bathroom, Joe had hissed when Nikki pinched his nipple, and that sound has been haunting Nikki's dreams. Pushing himself up Joe's body, he takes the same nipple into his mouth, sucking it, licking it, feeling it get stiff against his tongue. As he sucks, Nikki puts his palm flat against Joe's cock, giving him something to grind against, but not enough to get off. The first time Joe visited, when Nikki tasked him with making the asparagus, the sight of Joe in a pair of criminally well-fitted jeans tormented him. Nikki's hands itched, needing to grab handfuls of Joe's ass, grip them until the flesh dimpled under his fingers, and haul Joe close so they could kiss for hours. Now Nikki has the time, has all the time he could want. With that luxury of time, he's clutching Joe, gripping and pulling, holding his ass wide so Nikki can brush a finger over his hole. When he does, Joe rocks against his thigh as Nikki kisses him breathless. The place behind Joe's ear, the place Nikki had been able to see while Joe fell asleep on the couch, his head lolling to one side, that place needs to be kissed. It needs to have Nikki's teeth dragged over it. He's gripping Joe's waist now, his hips, and feeling him struggling for more contact. In the grand scheme, they haven't been waiting that long. 2 weeks at most. Couples wait that long all the time. Unlike some couples who wait that long, Joe and Nikki have reached for this moment since the first time their mouths touched. They only needed the universe to get the fuck out of their way. Nikki digs shoulder deep, or so it feels, into the drawer of the table on Joe's side of the bed. Arching above Joe like this, Nikki is opening every soft, vulnerable spot he has. Just as his fingers close around the lube, a sharp thread of pleasure mixed with pain lances across Nikki's chest. Hot and slick, Joe's tongue swipes across the chunk of Nikki's flesh held between his teeth. Good, Nikki groans. So good, please. He would stay like this all day, letting Joe feast on him, 3 square inches at a time. Please, Joe. Raking his tongue over Nikki's skin one last time, Joe pulls back. Nikki kneels between Joe's knees. Lift. Fingers curled against Joe's lower back, Nikki urges him up and slips a pillow into the gap it makes under Joe's hips. After the tugging and moving and rearranging is over, Joe is on his back, his legs draped over Nikki's widespread thighs, his hips canted up by the pillow, and his chest draped in a necklace of sweat. Nikki drags his palms up Joe's thighs, thumb and forefingers framing his cock, then back down to cup Joe's knees. A reassuring touch, a grounding anchor in the middle of what could be a haze of lust and whispers. I feel as though every time we talk, I open my mouth and things come out that I'd wanted to say but hadn't meant to. Bending, he kisses Joe above his right hip. Me too. I worried I would scare you away. Joe reaches down and takes Nikki's hand. Me too, he says, more breath and sound than words. Did I? Never. Joe shakes his head. Nikki smiles. Every time you slipped, you only said words I had in my head, too. Joe's knuckles are dry and warm against Nikki's mouth. In his head, Nikki can hear Joe saying that he'd do weeks of video calls just to spend time with Nikki. That it's not only about finishing that bathroom makeout. If he somehow managed to not ruin this with weeks of verbal train wrecks, well, I don't want to waste any of my time or thoughts worrying about what I might say. Not right now. Then don't. So I just say what's in my head, and you just say what's in your head. And we settle up later. We figure out what we were serious about and what was just the moment. Nikki kneels up and bends forward, nearly folding Joe in half to kiss him. In that case, you belong in my bed. He moves back to sitting on his heels, drinking in the sight of Joe here, finally. I've dreamed this very sight for weeks. There's never been anything as perfect as you against my sheets. My pillows will smell like you, and it will be torture if you're further away than the kitchen. Waking up with you holding me feels better than I could have imagined, and I will miss you every day I wake up without you beside me. Nikki. A shiver twitches across Joe's chest. Did that hit a nerve? I can't tell. Was it good? Joe's cock is searing hot when Nikki grips it. Or bad. Shit, Nikki! Joe's hips buck up, fucking his cock into Nikki's grip. Bracing his hands at the top of Joe's inner thighs, Nikki pushes gently, using his thumbs to spread Joe's ass. Look how slick you are. I imagined getting to see this for the first time at night. Like a secret thing. It's better like this in the morning light. He sweeps one thumb over Joe's hole, watching it twitch, then give under the pressure. Joe gasps, and his shoulders twist against the sheets. Did you think about that when you were stretching yourself this morning? That I'd spread you open and look at you in the daylight? Rolling his face into a pillow, Joe whines and nods. You did. If you'd closed the curtains, we could have slept for another hour. But you left them open. You wanted me to see. Oh, Joe. Nikki's voice rumbles like thunder, a passing train. His other thumb joins the first and pushes in. When Joe stops bucking and thrashing, Nikki hooks them in opposite directions and tugs. Joe hisses, gasps, as he's stretched. Nikki, Nikki, your hands. Nikki, please, you feel so good. Your hands are perfect. More, Nikki. Can I tell you something you missed while you were hunting around this morning, detective? Just a bit further back in the drawer where you found this lube are the flavored ones. If you'd used one of those, I'd push your knees back right now and lick you open for as long as you could stand it. Keep that in mind the next time you start thinking you'd like to be on display. Fingers digging into Joe's hips, Nikki heaves him closer. With his legs splayed even wider over Nikki's lap, Joe works his way up onto his elbows, watching Nikki dribble lube into his hand and grip himself. I should make you close your eyes while I do this, just as payback for not letting me see you stretching yourself earlier. Nikki can't keep his eyes open the first time he pushes his cock up into his tight, clenched fist. His face twists as he skims the line between pleasure and pain. In a flash, Nikki's eyes flick open, and if Joe knew better, he'd be deeply apprehensive about that look. It's a kind of wicked glee that Nikki only gets when he's very excited about a terrible idea. Slicking himself up once more, Nikki lines his cock up with the split of Joe's ass and curls his hips. The head of his cock drags between the two halves, catching momentarily on the edge of Joe's hole, then further up to nudge at the back of his balls. Tell me, Joe. He's settled into a rhythm now, fucking Joe's cleft. Every time Nikki's cock slips over his hole, Joe's cock twitches, jumps, then drops with a wet slap onto the pool he's been dripping onto his belly. It's fucking hypnotic. And Nikki loses his train of thought for a second. He had plans. Was going to make Joe beg. But fuck that. His hole is so hot, and it's right there. With barely a shift of the angle on the next thrust, Nikki could be inside him. Inside that tight, so tight, right. That's where he was. Tell me, how thorough were you? What? I wasn't there, Joe. How much time did you take? Did you try to guess how long I would have taken? You've been listening to me for a week and a half, talking about getting you in this exact spot. How much patience did you think I'd have? Will you be this tight? Joe shouts, back arching, as Nikki's lube slick hand grips him. So good, Nikki. Your hand feels so good. I need more. I need the rest of you. Need to feel you. Needed it for weeks. I can feel you pushing against my hole. Nikki, please. Nikki isn't finished yet. There's the glimmer of possibility that he will never be finished teasing and tormenting and needing this man. He tightens his grip. If you were in a hurry, wanting only to feel me inside you, it would be more like this. He smirks, and Joe should be more than worried now. Suddenly, Nikki's barely touching Joe. The circle of his hand is so loose, it's almost worse than nothing at all. On the other hand, if you were very careful, if you thought I would take my time with that part, you might be this open, this stretched right now. Every time Nikki fucks himself along Joe's ass, he's fucking Joe's cock with his hand the slightest bit. Now feeling only the ghost of that touch, Joe starts twisting his hips, trying to get more contact. He's muttering under his breath, words Nikki can't understand. The next thrust should be like all the others, but Joe twists just the right way and just the right time, and Nikki's cock catches at the edge of his hole and holds just for a second. Oh God, fuck, Joe shouts. The rest of the words he says are just as loud and just as vehement, but in a language Nikki doesn't even recognize, let alone speak. Nikki stopped moving. Did you switch languages just to curse at me? Joe blinks his eyes, comes back to himself a bit. Yes? Some languages are good for... He shakes his head, trying to get some of the blood back in his brain. Are we really going to... His grunt is a mixture of disgusted and exasperated. Some languages are better suited for certain purposes than others, like Italian for seduction. He squirms again, making it clear he'd prefer to get the fuck on with things. And for cursing? Nikki, we were just... Calmly, Nikki puts both hands out to his sides, open and empty. He's no longer touching Joe anywhere except his lap. Joe whines, then flops back against the pillows. Hungarian. It's best for swearing. I don't speak it, but I know enough to know it's the right language for when the man of my dreams won't quit fucking around long enough to get his cock inside me. He sounds so much more indignant than you'd expect from a man in a sprawl that graceless. Nikki doesn't want to laugh, but as always, his best intentions go out the window when Joe is in the room. Joe catches his eye, huffs a laugh of his own. Here, Nikki says, reaching for Joe. Their hands clasped, Nikki pulls Joe up and in, wrapping his arms around Joe's back and kissing him. You were too far away. I needed to kiss you. I always need to kiss you. In this position, Nikki's cock is snugged into the crease of Joe's ass. As Joe wriggles closer to Nikki, deepening their kiss, Nikki's cock twitches with renewed interest. Grabbing Joe's hips, Nikki rocks up into that hot, slick slide again and again. Joe is gasping into his mouth, moaning against his neck. How do you feel so fucking good? This feels so good. I love that. Love it, love it. Nikki, please. Joe is clutching at his back, and Nikki can feel the blunt edges of his fingernails digging in. Like everything else about having Joe in his arms and in his bed, it feels fantastic. Nikki pushes gently and lowers Joe onto his elbows again. He gives a few more lazy thrusts, feeling Joe's hips rolling as he tries to angle himself the right way to get Nikki into him. Tearing open a condom with one hand covered in lube is an iffy proposition at best, which is why Nikki's glad he did it before things got that far. He slips it out of the wrapper and rolls it on. Another dribble of lube to slick himself like this, before Nikki kneels up, then braces himself with his right elbow next to Joe's head, looking into Joe's eyes. They're as incredible as the first time Nikki saw them. Better, even, for the familiarity, because Nikki has learned what these eyes look like, smiling, tired, frustrated, sad, even excited. And now Nikki knows what they look like when Joe's entire world has condensed down to the space of this bed and the two men in it. This is more than lust or hunger, but Nikki knows now isn't the time to name it. He noses up under Joe's jaw, kissing him there, as he uses the hand he's not bracing on to slot the head of his cock against Joe's hole. Holding himself above Joe, not moving, Nikki looks down the length of their bodies and sees Joe's cock weeping against his own belly. He's going to enjoy licking that spot clean later. Nikki, hey. Raising his head again, Nikki meets Joe's eyes. Please don't stop. I've wanted this since you walked through Rick's door. Please, Nikki, please, please. Joe gasps and doesn't exhale, doesn't make a sound as Nikki starts to push. Joe had been in a hurry. Either that or Nikki's drawn out this torment longer than he meant to, because Joe is almost impossibly tight. He has Joe's face framed by his forearms, is looking into Joe's eyes as he rocks himself forward again and again, feeling the head of his cock kissing Joe's hole each time. With every push, Nikki slides a little deeper. We can stretch you more. I can stop. Grabbing his hair, Joe kisses him. If you stop, I will tie you to the bed and make you watch as I fuck the toy I found in the other drawer. Nikki can't hold back his moan at that image. Right. I'll keep going then, but tell me if it hurts in a bad way, if you need me to stop. He pushes forward again, can feel that the head is almost all the way in. And file that idea away for later, yes? Another push and Nikki can feel the head of his cock almost pop through the inner ring of muscle. Joe clenches tight, relaxes, then clenches again. Oh God, oh fuck, fuck, how does this feel so good? Nikki, I need more, I need to feel all of you. Nikki, move. Nikki pulls back. Joe's hands scrabble at his back, his hips, trying to hold Nikki inside him. No, 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 Nikki, no. He can feel the ridge at the head of his cock tugging at Joe's hole, and he knows how good it must feel to Joe. Beneath him, Joe is staring wide-eyed. His mouth drops open in a silent wail. Then the breath is punched out of him as Nikki pushes back in. Only as far as before, no deeper. Just giving Joe a hint of how a full stroke might feel. Nikki, fuck! His arms start to ache, but Nikki doesn't move. Joe is watching him, waiting for any movement. His hands are clenching and releasing Nikki's hair. Nikki. A quick dip of his head, and Nikki is kissing him. It's sweet and deep, and when it's over, Joe looks up at him, a question on his face. Nikki? So eager for this, you got up early and got yourself ready without me. He kisses the spot just in front of Joe's ear. If you want it that much, he whispers in Joe's ear, come get it. Very deliberately, Nikki goes back to not moving at all. From the memories of their conversations last week, Joe pulls a phrase. I feel like I should have known about this vicious streak you have. Nikki smirks at him. Locking his legs around Nikki as best he can, Joe curls his hips and fucks himself onto Nikki's cock. His groan is guttural, heavy with want. Again, Nicky can feel himself slide in, but not much deeper than last time. Yes, Nicky says as Joe tries again to get him deeper. Yes. Having his legs there isn't working, so Joe squirms until he has one foot planted on the bed and one hand braced against the headboard. He pushes himself up again, feeling his cock slip deeper. Nicky rolls his head on his neck, his jaw clenched. With leverage on his side, Joe is pulling Nicky deeper and deeper. Nicky, please, baby. Nicky, I can't do it myself. Nicky, I can't do it myself, and I need it, Nicky. All week I've thought about having you as deep as you could get. And I can't do it like this, not without you helping. Nicky, please. In the end, Nicky is only human. How is he supposed to hold out in the face of Joe confessing he spent days fantasizing about Nicky buried inside him? Nicky and his breasts move in opposition. A gasp breath in as he pulls out, and then a shouted exhale as he drives himself in. Yes, 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 thank you. Fuck, Nicky, yes, that's perfect. Oh, fuck, baby, perfect. Nicky rolls his hips at the end, and Joe groans and clutches his shoulders. When Nicky starts to pull back, he can feel hands grabbing his back, trying to pull him in. Nicky, fuck! Joe's eyes slam shut as Nicky thrusts back in. He keeps up these long, deep thrusts until he can see sweat rolling back from Joe's temples into his hair. Nicky ducks his head and licks that spot, tasting the salt of Joe's need, heavy and perfect on his tongue. You're perfect. The way you look right now. Shameless. I love seeing you like this. Ah, fuck, perfect. God, Joe's so good. Because it's been at least 5 minutes since the last one, Nicky kisses him. Joe's arms encircle his neck, keeping him close. It feels incredible to have Joe wrapped around him in so many ways, but it's keeping Nicky from what he wants to do next. Maybe later or tomorrow they can do this again. And stay wrapped up like that the whole time. They'd be so sweat slick, perfect for just grinding. Not now, though. Nicky puts another hooking roll of his hips at the end of the next thrust, and Joe's arms go just loose enough for Nicky to kneel up. Joe looks ready to protest until Nicky shifts with the movement and slides further in. Nicky! He's found the perfect angle to drive himself even deeper, and Nicky rolls his hips into it. Joe hooks his thighs over Nicky's and tries to meet him on each thrust. Did you think about having me this deep? Joe's eyes are wild. No, I... Fuck, Nicky, no. The next roll of Nicky's hips hits something inside him, and Joe braces himself against the headboard again, pushing down into each thrust. His cock, flushed almost purple and weeping, jerks against his belly again. Nicky has one last trick up his sleeve, one last thing he wants for this round. He spreads Joe's thighs as wide as they'll go, then leans back slightly. The way he's grabbing Joe's hips is not only helping Nicky hold himself up, but it's also pulling Joe closer. At this angle, Nicky can work his hips up into Joe each time he pulls Joe down onto him. This is as much of me as I can give you, my Joe, my perfect Joe. Mouth hanging open, Joe is muttering, senseless. As Nicky gets faster, Joe gets louder. Finally, Nicky recognizes the sound Joe's been making. He's been saying Nicky's name over and over. You feel so good, so tight around me, so perfect for me. You're so perfect. Nicky will never be able to put into words the way Joe feels against him right now, but that won't stop him from trying. You're so hot around me, and I can smell your skin, can see where you're dripping on yourself. Nicky swipes a finger through the puddle Joe's been making, then sucks it clean. Perfect, even that. One of these times I'm going to get you in my mouth before you're hard and keep you there until you almost can't stand it, just to make sure I taste every drop. Fucking hell, Nicky. Finish killing me this time. Oh, shit, yes again, so good. Before you start thinking about how to kill me 20 times from now. Oh, God, Nicky. Baby, please. Please, Nicky. Please. A small part of Nikki wants to stay buried in Joe like this all day, to keep himself and his lover straining for release, because he's never felt as good as he does right now, on the verge of shouting his climax to the rafters and dragging Joe over with him. Never even dreamed he could feel this good. Do you want my hand now, or my mouth after I finish? Hand, please, Nikki, please let me come with you. Please, Nikki, please. A single fat tear rolls from the corner of Joe's eye and into his hair. There it is, he'd said, tears in your eyes from begging. Joe's been begging for what feels like hours, and even one tear is enough for Nikki to have kept his promise. Nikki licks his hand and wraps it around Joe's poor, neglected cock. Joe shouts and clutches at the sheets. Beautiful, Nikki says. You're so beautiful. Fuck, Joe. How are you so perfect? Thank you. Oh, fuck, Nikki. Thank you. Fuck me. Stroke me. Please don't stop, Nikki. Baby, please don't stop. It seems like such a small thing, especially since it's not even the first time he's said it in the last few minutes. But hearing that endearment from Joe grabs Nikki's attention. He remembers Joe on his couch laughing, Joe in his kitchen talking and cooking, Joe curled in his chair at home, smiling at Nikki while they spoke across an ocean. Knowing he gets all those smiles, in addition to this fucked out, blissful smile Joe has right now, is what pushes Nikki over. Maybe Joe comes as he does. Maybe it takes a few seconds longer. Nikki's not touching reality enough to know. It feels like something rushes up his spine and grips the back of his head, pulsing pleasure into every part of his body. When he opens his eyes again, his hand is sticky with Joe's cum, and Joe is reaching for him. It's not graceful, but Nikki ends up sprawled across Joe's chest, licking his hand clean, then burying his face in Joe's neck. When he catches his breath, he takes a second to dispose of the condom, then flops back down into the same spot. Joe cards his fingers through Nikki's hair, kissing his head and whispering to Nikki in a language Nikki thinks he recognizes, but doesn't understand. He kisses Joe's neck and drifts for a few minutes. Is that Arabic? If you curse in Hungarian and seduce in Italian, what do you use Arabic for? Poetry, Joe says, pushing Nikki's hair back from his forehead to kiss him. And everything else. We said it before, but I missed you. You can say it again if you want. I missed you too, more than I expected for someone I'd been on 2 dates with. Well, a date and a half. You say that like a man who doesn't want to know how the bathtub jets work. You trying to seduce me with plumbing? Because I gotta tell you, Nikki, I'm a sure thing at this point. Their bath is surprisingly tame, only a few wandering hands and a couple of sloppy kisses. Do I need to, what was it you called it? Settle up for anything I said? Did you mean it all? Joe asks. Nikki nods. Then no, you don't, Nikki. Joe cups his face with one wet hand and holds his eyes. Nothing you've done or said since the moment I met you has done anything but make me want you, want to be with you more. The answer to that, as it has been every other time Joe's said something that perfect, is to kiss him until it feels like they're out of air. On the other hand, Nikki says, you have something to answer for. A flicker of nervousness skates across Joe's face, but he seems to take some reassurance from being naked, fuck drunk, and wrapped in Nikki's arms. Do I? Did you call me baby? More than once? Calmly, Joe reaches over and flips the jets back on. The noise fills the bathroom. What? I can't hear you. To be continued.